Well, hello, and welcome to the Growth Mindset Podcast. Join me, Sam Harris, on my journey of curiosity and growth. I have conversations with some of the world's most fascinating humans, from billionaires to Olympians, and most everyone in between, such as suspiciously happy people and even a hitman. Success isn't just for successful people, it is earned and you can earn it too. I find out how ordinary people become extraordinary to fuel your own growth mindset. Hello and welcome to the Growth Mindset Podcast. Today I have Maya Rose on the podcast, who has become rather famous, and you've become well known for just doing some really cool stuff, and you've received an honorary degree from Bristol even, just for like the good work that you've been doing.
So thanks for having me today.
Definitely. So in terms of when you started your blog, yeah, what platform did you use?
I literally just started one on Blogger, which is still on Blogger. It was all really basic. Like, it was just a kid wanting to talk to other kids about like birds stuff, really. And it was sort of like the thing at the time as well. Like, it was the first time this tiny little network of kids roughly my age that were into the same things that I were popping up on the internet, and I just really wanted to like be involved and talk to other people, and then it all spiraled.
Did your parents ever think of being like, well, maybe we won't let you sort of be on the computer quite so much?
They've been really supportive this entire time, and they've always helped me like a lot. And I think the blog wasn't a big deal at all, but when I started going on Twitter and stuff, they definitely have access to my Twitter because it was kind of like a work profile, and I do get a lot of like nasty people and stuff. And they used to be very good at making sure the coast was a bit clearer for me when I was younger. And I think, like, I don't know, with that support, it meant that I was able to find a really nice balance between being quite exposed to the internet and a lot of people when I was quite young without having to, like, talk to some really nasty people out there.
So when you first started with, like, blogging, did it take a lot of practice to learn how to write? Or was it more that you just sort of were a bit random and then you kind of found more of a focus when you started getting traction?
A bit of both. I have a really distinct memory of the first ever blog post I put up. It was so short and it was so basic, but I spent hours and hours in the back of the car trying to figure out what I wanted to write. And it ended up just being like, hello, my name's Maya, I'm writing about Berta. But it took me ages because I just wanted it to be perfect. And I guess I did very quickly slip into writing these really short blogs and stuff. Like, there were periods where I was really, really quite prolific to the point where it was slightly spammy. But I didn't really care because it was just my blog and I just wanted to put loads and loads and loads of stuff on there because I really loved it, you know, I really love it.
And then do you remember like your first post that kind of went viral as such, since suddenly got like a huge following, or did it kind of go from like 0 to 100 to 1,000 to 10,000 to like just slowly get more and more?
I mean, pretty much off the bat, like within a couple of months, it was a lot more people were reading it than I had ever intended or like ever expected. I guess it felt very rewarding because I wasn't actively really trying to get loads of people reading my blog. Like, I wasn't trying to make it the most popular blog out there or whatever. I was just writing things and people genuinely cared and they wanted to carry on reading what I had to say. And I think other social media like Twitter and stuff has been a lot more astronomical because I only started that a few years ago. And then I just got more and more and more followers. And that did feel really weird because it was back when Twitter was still the really short sentences. So I'd just say whatever had popped into my head. And then I'd get like a massive burst of followers. So I think the online stuff is a very weird combination of just working really hard and getting the results and just sudden astronomical progress.
Have you embraced like the video wave of things? Because obviously blogging is still like really big, but in terms of people engaging video a lot more these days, are you trying to do more of that?
Yeah, definitely. I've just suddenly been doing a lot more of that short form content where you're trying to get your message out as quick as possible in as short a format as possible to try and, I don't know, just engage with people really.
Yeah, I find that really hard personally. Like, trying to just do like a quick like, hey guys, it's me. It's not a skill set. The woes of the modern life.
First world problems, I suppose.
Definitely. So in terms of what you've been like fighting for and stuff, what do you think are the biggest things that need to be changed?
Yeah, so I suppose within my own little niche of what I do, I'm all about diversity and inclusion and opposing gatekeeping, I suppose, whether it's into a sector or even like access to nature in the countryside. And I think it's very important that the nature sector and people involved in these various movements and stuff stay very aware of their own perspective, sort of blurring things a little bit for them, whether that's in terms of the very basic like engagement, interacting with people, interacting with the environment, or in terms of the movement. Like I've been doing a lot of stuff lately to do with the climate change movement and making sure that it's still keeping people in mind and making sure that the global north, who we created this problem, we were essentially the ones that caused climate change, that we aren't palming all the suffering and the problems off countries that essentially haven't done that much compared to us. Like the example I talk about a lot is in Bangladesh, that economy is very reliant on fast fashion and the garment industry, and the fact that it's all very well to suddenly be like, we have to stop buying fast fashion because obviously it's terrible for the environment, but the fact that you can't just ignore the fact that hundreds of thousands or millions of people are just going to be out of jobs if you just cut off an industry like that. And I guess just talking a lot about the fact that the climate change movement needs to be a lot more holistic than it is, or it's not gonna work, basically. Like, it's not gonna stick. And I think that's one of the reasons that I talk about diversity a lot in the first place, because as well as like not letting people get these opportunities, if you have essentially like one type of person throughout a movement or an industry, you've only got one way of like looking at things and interacting with problems, and it creates such a flat response to it, really. And it's just not effective, you know? And I think the anti-climate change movement needs to be quite effective, or we're all gonna suffer quite a lot. It feels slightly apocalyptic these days.
Yeah, it has all got like a little bit apocalyptic, but still sort of strange how like everyone still just kind of carries on with the day as is, and you're sort of like, well, that's gonna change like pretty fast when it all goes wrong, kind of like with the coronavirus stuff. Of like, could be a big problem, by the way, guys. Oh, that's nothing. Oh, that's nothing. Oh god, panic. Ah. You're like, yeah, this is what science does when it actually happens. So do you have any like tangible targets that you're aiming for? Because it's quite a big intangible thing that we're talking about, but in terms of your role on the planet, you sort of adopted being a person of like action and things. Do you think you'd want to be going into like politics in the long run, or like lobbying of things? Or do you think you still want to have like maybe 5-10 years of going through like education, actually working out like how the world works a bit more, and sort of just being a voice for good, and then perhaps thinking about these things later?
Well, I'm going off to uni soon.
Which uni and what are you studying?
I'm not sure which uni yet. I'm not getting my results till August, but I really want to go to Warwick and I want to study politics and international relations, but not because I necessarily want to be a politician, just because I just find it really genuinely interesting. And I guess I'm not 100% sure what I want to do when I'm a grown up, like when I have to have a job and stuff, but I can't imagine myself not continuing to stand up and shout about things that I care about. Like, just whether or not it's the same stuff that I'm talking about now, I'm not sure, but I just can't imagine myself not trying to create change when I'm older.
Yeah, I mean, there's millions of ways to do it, as in starting businesses that do useful stuff is one option, lobbying for things, becoming a politician, deciding that actually you just want to study medicine and just like help people. So many different things. Yeah, I mean, you've got plenty of time to work out your exact life purpose. It's nice to kind of see like what the points of things are.
The show today is brought to you by Praxis, a legitimate alternative to a college degree. They'll get you a great job without the cost, basically. Praxis is a 6-month course in skills that you need to land a job in marketing, sales, or operations. And graduates from Praxis get a starting salary of roughly 50k after graduation normally. And you pay no fees until you're hired. So I just think it's a really good way to get an education without all the costs. And I really believe that education is hugely overpriced, and like a college degree doesn't even teach you all the relevant skills that you need anyway. And it's much better to spend that time in the job earning money than it is being away from the things that you're going to be doing. And you're just kind of wasting your time at a college paying crazy fees to learn out-of-date style information that you don't really need. So I'm a huge believer in proving your skills by doing rather than saying. And a formal education means that you have a document that says you might be good at something, whereas practice gives you the time to actually do the things that show you are good by giving you experiences to learn from them. You can find out more on their homepage, discoverpraxis.com. You can also get a free ebook about practice to find out if this is the kind of thing for you at discoverpraxis.com/show notes. So that was practice, a legitimate alternative to a college degree.
In terms of like Greta Thunberg then, what are your thoughts about her?
I do actually really like her.
You met her, right?
Yeah, I did. It was really cool. She came to Bristol and we were like behind stage together. Yeah, she was really nice. I really like her. But I do also like her in terms of the movement as well. Like, I understand some of the criticism that she gets, but I think she's been a very important figurehead, and the climate change movement has changed so much because of her. Like, this sudden massive wave of youth involvement has changed everything, really. And she had a lot to do with that. And I think in a lot of ways, she's the perfect person to have become this figurehead. And I remember when we were walking at the protest and I was holding the banner with her, and the way that people were shouting at her and interacting with her, it was more like, it was like a celebrity or something, you know, it was like a famous person. And I think it just says a lot about how inspiring people think she is and how amazing they think she is. And I think she's spurred a lot of people on into becoming involved in the movement or making it more accessible for young people to join the movement. Yeah, I think she's really cool.
If you were Greta, what would you do?
Well, that's one of the reasons that I think she's really admirable, because it's a really, really big responsibility. And we're the same age. I think she's like 6 months younger than me. And she just deals with it all so gracefully. And like, she's just so calm about everything. And I probably would have had like a breakdown or something by now, to be honest. Like, it's so much pressure and so many people like watching your every move, waiting for you to slip up. But yeah, I think she's really, really admirable. And I'm not sure many people could deal with it, to be honest. No one was expecting it, really. Again, it's this lottery thing, really. Because why was it that Greta became famous rather than a girl doing a different thing in a different country? And it's just who the internet decided to pick up on that day or week or month or whatever. And she's just managed to turn that into this.
Yeah, yeah. She's just sort of in the right place at the right time for people to be like, oh, we need a little news story about some young person doing good and like, look, this person's doing great things, like having a walkout. And then people sort of saw it and like, yeah, and just like blew up and going kind of viral. Super awesome. Greta's obviously done amazing things, which has had lots of help in terms of being able to kind of do all the things that she's done. Have you had, like, would you say lots of help as well?
Yeah, definitely. Like I said before, my parents have like helped and supported me a lot. And especially, I haven't really talked about them, but I do camps every summer for VME people from like inner city Bristol, and we take them out into the countryside. And we did 4 of them last year, and we were going to do 4 of them this year. And I literally physically could not do those without the help of my parents and my older sister and like various volunteers and stuff. But I think over the years, so many people have, you know, just stepped up and pushed me onwards a bit, or given me a new opportunity or a new contact or a new way of thinking about things, really. And yeah, I think without even one of them, like, it could be very different today. It's not been a solo mission at all, really.
Interesting. Yes, just to sort of switch gears and go back to what we're talking about in terms of quite a lot of people disliking her, because she's a bit up front. But I just read a philosophy book on the last days of Socrates, who was an ancient Greek philosopher who got put on trial for generally disturbing the peace. But basically, he just annoyed people because he was really smart and didn't bother like doing the things that everyone else did, like making money or politics and things. He kind of just went around proving to people that they were being stupid and like wasting their time and things. And he was kind of just really ahead of his time, but like put up like a mirror to people to explain why they were being dumb. So he sort of take them on these like logical loops of like, he sort of asked them like, why are you doing this? But then, oh, so you want happiness, but like surely you're happier when you're like at home, like doing this thing. Why? And he just keep on going further and further to the point where like they then realize they'd done something stupid. But instead of taking his advice, everyone kind of just got annoyed with him to the point where he got put on trial and then killed. And just because people don't like people that are up front and tell them that they're being wrong, even when it's like for their own interest, and they prefer to like just follow their own issues. So I guess it kind of is a similar thing with like Greta. Like, people don't really like being told that they're wrong and having someone to actually sort of hold that mirror up to them, and would prefer to kind of stay as they are.
It's one of those things, because I've heard people like refer to Greta as this sort of Cassandra figure, where she's telling us all about this terrible future and people aren't believing or aren't listening. But yeah, I think she is more of a Socrates, because she hasn't got magical powers. She isn't a scientist. She hasn't suddenly gone like, oh, I see that the world's going to end in 10 years. She just knows about an issue and she's trying to talk to people about it and trying to point out that maybe they're not doing the best thing possible and they hate her for it. Like, I remember when she came to Bristol, it was this thing where it came out that loads of people were making like death threats and stuff. And I don't really understand how people can whip themselves up in such a frenzy where they're like that angry about being the truth. I don't know.
Yeah, people really need to chill out. But I mean, that's the thing that's been really positive and useful, I think, from the coronavirus effect, is that like we have seen that countries can all stop exactly what they're doing and just focus on one cause when they need to. And like, there's nothing stopping the world from all stopping and saying, hey, we need to fix climate change. Like, every single human has the ability to stay at home each day and do things that aren't the normal things we take for granted. So it's clearly not impossible. It's just making people align and all follow a front is really difficult, but there's no physical law of nature against it happening, and that if there's a really good reason, it should. And that, like, when scientists say that there's a warning against something, they should probably be taken seriously because of stuff that's go wrong.
Yeah. I do think, like, the most positive thing that we could take away from all of this, because obviously it all sucks, but I think that there really is the possibility for things to change. Like, I was reading something about how in the past, when we've had major issues to deal with, I suppose, like this, we've had really fundamental shifts. Like, that's when we went from a 6-day week to a 5-day week and stuff like that. And I think, you know, it's going to prove just things like the fact that we don't have to spend an hour commuting to get into the job in the middle of town, like it can be done at home, or the fact that it is actually easier to make food from, I don't know, the basic ingredients rather than just buying it all to go or whatever. I just think it'd be really nice to have something positive to take away on the other end of this. And I think I'm quite enjoying this just because I'm actually having the opportunity to cook for the first time ever. And I don't know, like, it's not all going well. I tried to make bread last weekend and it was absolutely inedible, but like by the time I'd finished.
But maybe next weekend you try again and it gets better.
Yeah, exactly. And it was just really nice to like do something with my hands, I suppose, like just try and make something. You know, I'm doing like school and work and there's no going out all the time, but it is quite nice to just have quarantine as time to spend on myself, I suppose.
Yeah, it's sort of helps you be more grateful for what you have in many ways as well, which is nice, because we often kind of sit around being annoyed about what we don't have. But if you're able to actually kind of be like, oh yeah, this is great, it's totally awesome, you can chill out a bit more, be happy for things. Okay, interesting. Who would you say has been the biggest influence in your life?
My parents and my sister have had like a massive influence. Like, they've shaped a lot of the way that I think about the world and I interact with it, and the whole way helped me just be loud and talk about things and just do what I want to do, I guess, and feel very confident in myself. I think there's various people over the years that I follow online. I quite enjoy it when I follow someone and I don't agree with everything that they say, and it properly makes me stop and think and be like, oh my god, maybe they're right. And my, not related to the environment, but my current person that I'm following that really makes me think about things and is really shaping a lot of the way that I'm looking at things is this artist called Florence Given, and it's just slightly uncomfortable reading her posts and watching her Instagram stories, and that is quite satisfying.
Yeah, so what about like influencing stuff online? Are you kind of going for like influencer look and like the way you sort of talk and things? Have you thought about like how you compose yourself?
Yeah, a bit. I mean, I think there's definitely a difference between the way I would like text my friends versus the way that I talk on Twitter. But on the other hand, like, it's not unnatural on Twitter, it's just a work voice, I suppose. Like, I try and be slightly like professional and like respectful, but I also do get into arguments online and stuff. Like, I do rise to the bait and I do have a bit of a back and forth with people about stuff.
Do you think some of it's just people trying to get a reaction from you?
Yeah, probably. And I do usually just block them, like, it's pretty chill. But there have been people where I've argued in the past and then sort of at the end of it, they've gone, oh yeah, okay, I agree with you now. You're right. And it's so weird because that's not really how people interact online usually. It's really cool when that happens, actually.
Well, shows that you should respect people and try and be nice, I guess. You never know. And certainly I'm amazed by like some celebrities that manage to just sort of always smile for a photo or stuff, and they're probably just like, oh my God, leave me alone.
Yeah, I could not be like a famous person. I don't know how to deal with that.
I've been having fun. Anyway, a few things I like to ask my guests before we finish. One is, what is one of your earliest memories?
All of my earliest memories are of bird watching. I remember very vividly going out in a boat when I was 3 when we went to Madeira to look for seabirds, which was really cool. And I also remember going bird watching in the woods with my parents, also from when I was 3. I'm not exaggerating when I say I've always been really into birds. Yeah, those are my earliest memories.
I like birds. Birds are nice.
I like birds as well. I think that's it.
What's your favourite bird?
Oh, in the UK, my favourite bird's probably a robin or a kingfisher. I think they're really cute. But in the world, my favourite bird is a southern cassowary, which they are amazing. They're from Australia. They're these sort of dinosaur birds that are about 6 foot tall. They have these big claws. They could like slash you into pieces. They're really scary. They're really cool.
What is one of the kindest things someone has ever done for you?
It's probably not the kindest thing anyone's done for me at all. But the only thing that is coming to mind right now is when I went to this conference and this lady like elbowed to the front of a crowd so that I could meet David Attenborough and no one else got to, which that was really cool. That was really lovely. I had a very short conversation with him. Someone made a joke about us being like the oldest and the youngest person in the room, and we got like a picture together.
How old were you at the time?
That would have been in 2017, maybe. So I was probably just turned 15.
So he was like 90 at the time.
Yeah. People raced him out of there pretty quickly afterwards because there was like a mob of people that wanted to come talk to him. But yeah, that was so cool. I'm pretty sure he's officially classified as a national treasure.
So. He is. He must never die.
Yeah, I was about to say he's very old, but he feels very immortal to me. Like, I think he's 93 now, but I just can't imagine him not like going forever. But again, he is a very old man, so
I mean, you can sort of understand why, like, yeah, I don't know what's going to happen when he does die, but like in North Korea, when they had like their president first die, they sort of, yeah, it was like national mourning and things. So they just like thought of him as like this immortal person that couldn't die. And I feel, kind of feel that way about David Attenborough right now. It's like, I feel like we need national holiday if he was to die or something. Like, I'm not sure how to deal with that.
And I think honestly, like 24 hour on every channel, like all of the documentaries he's ever done, like sort of, you can't escape. It's like David Attenborough Day, you know?
Good way to think about things.
Oh, another really kind thing was when the local youth strike people from Bristol contacted me and asked me to speak at the same thing that Greta was speaking at, like a month ago. That was really kind. They didn't have to do that at all. And that was like such a cool day, like such a cool experience. That's a more recent thing. That was really kind and I really appreciate.
Cool. Well, anyway, it's been a joy speaking with you. And do you have any final like favorite quotes and things that, like, have dictated your life or would be a useful thing for people to know?
The only thing that's popping into my head right now is the thing you say to little kids where you're like, if at first you don't succeed, try and try again. But honestly, I'm very like irritatingly persistent. So that probably sums everything up anyway.
It's one of those things you kind of need to learn as an adult that like often the stuff you get taught as a kid is like the most important things, which is why you get told it all as a kid. And it's sort of, it's just because it's so hard to learn and to actually take on board. And that is actually a really, really awesome, important philosophy to kind of, it takes people forever to kind of understand sometimes. So awesome. Good end note. Nice one. Hope you keep at it. And thanks a lot.
No, it's been really cool to speak with you. Thanks for having me on and stuff as well. It's like really cool.
I hope you enjoyed the episode as much as I did. My goal for this podcast is to help make people happier and wiser, and I'm also working on a few other projects in the podcasting space to achieve the same thing. I run the Wiser Than Yesterday podcast with a friend, where we read and discuss a great non-fiction book a week. We talk about things like philosophy, psychology, the economy, self-improvement, and business. Books such as The Black Swan, Anti-Fragile, Invisible Women, How to Win Friends and Influence People. It's a great resource. Most recently, I've been building an app Syncify. It's really to level up your podcast experience. You can connect with your friends in the app and listen to the same things. So you can listen live in real time with each other or create shared playlists and catch up at your own pace. You learn so much more by discussing ideas with friends. It's really silly to listen alone. You can also discover and share brilliant episodes with ease without having to try and recommend podcasts in different apps and just it all getting lost and confused. So it's also good for combating isolation and mental health. I personally find social media quite antisocial and I just don't find it easy to reach out to friends to chat for no real reason. But I do love doing things with other people and listening to the same content means that I can naturally talk about the same things and it just gives me that friend time without going out of my way. So I really hope that it can help you and I just would love you to try out the beta version and help us build this. And obviously do invite your friends. It's all about friends. So you can find out more about Syncify app by going to syncifyapp.com. Thanks for listening.
Congratulations on listening to a whole episode of the Growth Mindset podcast. Before you race into another podcast, try pausing. Ask yourself, what have you learned? What could you change? How will you make that change happen? Did you press pause? Knowledge is useless without action. What did you learn? What should you change? And how will you make that change happen? You can tell us what you learned by contacting us through the website, growthmindsetpodcast.com, and feel free to connect with us or our guests, or just peruse the show notes. Our Instagram is @growthmindsetpodcast, or follow me @samjamsnaps for a daily reminder to stop using Instagram. If you enjoy random acts of kindness and want to support the show, you can support us on Patreon or leave us a review on iTunes, and you'll make me very happy. And with that, keep learning and keep growing.